This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ثم أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته my dearest brothers and sisters welcome to the continuation of Tafsir Surah Yusuf this is lesson 10 and in today's lesson inshallah we'll be going through verse number 30, 31 and 32 inshallah let's begin with the recitation
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقال نسوة في المدينة امرأة العزيز تراود فتاها عن نفسه قد شغفها حبا إنا لنراها في ضلال مبين فلما سمعت بمكرهن أرسلت إليهن وأعتدت لهن متكأ وآتت كل واحدة منهن سكينا وقالت اخرج عليهن فلما رأينه أكبرنه وقطعن أيديهن وقلن حاش لله وقلن حاش لله ما هذا بشرا إن هذا إلا ملك كريم قالت فذلكن الذي لمتنني فيه ولقد راودته عن نفسه فاستعصم ولئن لم يفعل ما آمره ليسجنن وليكون من الصاغرين
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين Okay, so we've got to the part of the story now where the Aziz, he comes to find out that his wife is basically trying to cheat on him with his own slave, Yusuf alayhi salam. When he finds out, and how does he find out? It's not just he works out himself. Another character comes in the story, who Allah refers to as a Shahid. And this Shahid shows him that, look, if you see his shirt is torn from the back, which means that she was after him. And if she was after him, it means he's not to blame. She's the one at fault. After finding out such an incredible thing about his own wife, the only thing he has to say is, Yusufu a'rid an hadha. Yusuf, keep quiet about this. We mentioned last time why he would say such a thing to Yusuf alayhi salam, that he's a politician, famous person, and as you know, the political class do, they want to keep a scandal from breaking out. So he said, Yusuf a'rid an hadha. And then he turns to his wife, and all he says is, فَاسْتَغْفِرِ لِذَنْبِكِ Ask Allah to forgive you. Now, even though they try to suppress that scandal from breaking out, that is exactly what happens. Okay, people find out. So Imam Sa'di rahimahullah says, the next verse, وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ The women of the city find out. And when they find out, they start speaking about it. They start gossiping. What did they say? Imra'atul Aziz. You want to say something? No. So far, there's been one main attempt made at seducing Yusuf alayhi salam. غَلَّقَتِ الْأَبَوَابَ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكَ We've covered this now. Now, that after that happened, Yusuf alayhi salam, you know, told Aziz that it wasn't me. She's accusing me, it wasn't me, it was her. And then the Shahid comes, and the Qamis is brought, and his innocence is made known to Aziz at the very least. That whole scenario of her trying it with him was leaked out, though they tried to suppress it. Then what happens is, Allah Jalla wa'ala says, a particular group of women now, they're talking about it. And they're gossiping, what do they say? Imra'atul Aziz, turawidu fataha. The wife of Aziz, of all people, she's actually trying it with her own fata, with her own young boy. What they mean by fata is their own slave. Yeah. So they're gossiping about her, they're speaking bad about her. And an nafsihi, he was rejecting it. He didn't fall for it. Okay, he wasn't complying, he wasn't listening to her, he refused. So that's even more basti on her. Yeah, that she tried it with her own slave, and the slave said, no, I'm not going to. قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّ. And it's not that she just wanted to try to seduce him. It wasn't just lust. It was hub. It was actually love. She's in love with her own slave. And it's not just any type of love. قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّ. The shagaf of the qalb, of the heart, is said to be either the outer layer of the heart, the outer membrane that holds the whole heart together, or it's supposed to refer to the very inner core of it, the inner core, the very center of the heart. So they're saying, قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّ. Her love for him has gone to every part of her heart. Look at the way they're talking about her. They're saying she's crazy in love with him. قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّ. إِنَّا نَرَاهَا فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. And we see her to be a clearly misguided woman. Okay. So they're really putting her down. Now let's look at the wording. Allah says, قَالَ نِسْوَ. What's the usual word for women in Arabic? Nisa. Niswa is different, right? Niswa is what they refer to as a smaller plural. Okay. It's a smaller plural, meaning women, plural, could be so many women. Niswa, it refers to a small group of women. And notice that Allah Jalla wa'ala didn't say qalat niswa. Allah said qala. Qala is the masculine version of the verb to say. So how come a masculine verb is being used with a feminine word? It doesn't make sense. Well, there's two reasons why. One is that niswa doesn't have a singular. It's a plural which doesn't have a singular. And in that case, you can use a masculine verb when you're talking about that particular word. The second is, by saying qala, it indicates that they were just a small, select group of women. And where were they from? Not Misr. They're from Al-Madinah. Al-Madinah refers to the capital of the country. So what we're being told here is that they're not just ordinary women. They're from the rich and famous, from her type of class, the political class. Those type of women have found out about her. They know her. Okay. And that's why they're speaking so badly about her. Now, what they say is that she's misguided. What they say is that she's crazy in love and all the rest of it. But the next verse, okay, Allah Jalla wa'ala says, فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِ what? بِمَكْرِهِنَّ. Allah says that she comes to hear of not what they said or their ghiba, of their makr. Makr refers to plotting. So Allah says that she heard what they said, but she understood what they said to be a plot. What that means is, when these women are talking about her in public, in a group, they know that she's going to find out. Okay, what they want her to find out. Why do they want her to find out? What do you think? Why do they want her to find out? Huh? Yeah. Okay, I thought you were going to say something, yeah? Yes.
So that they could see him as well.
No, very good. You know what? You haven't had a chocolate spana since the beginning. Problem. They want her to find out, so she's going to say, oh, is it? Come round then. I'll show you who he is. You're blaming me? Have a look at him yourself. As if you would be any different in my situation. Yeah? So that's why Allah Jalla says that she heard their makr. Now, before we go into that part, this verse still, Allah says, قَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ إِمْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ. They don't refer to her by name, even though they know her name, right? They refer to her as the lady of Al-Aziz. She's not just any ordinary lady. She's the wife of a well-known, supposed to be respectable person. And she's doing this. Okay. And then her love for him. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says that this type of love, if a person has it for someone or something else, it's the type of love that makes that person hold that other thing like a deity. Yeah, a nid. A nid is an equal. And if somebody has that type of love for somebody else or someone else or some other thing, they're actually loving that thing like they ought to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, so there's an element of serious evil in this particular type of love. And that is why in Arabic, subhanAllah, there are over 50 words that are synonyms to hub, synonyms to love. You can use 50 different words if you're speaking about love. And each word has its own kind of connotation and slant. One of the words used to describe her love is ishq. We mentioned this last time, right? Ishq. Loosely translated, infatuation. Ibn Jawzi, rahimahullah, mentioned that ishq is an evil type of love. And it's a type of love that makes someone inclined to another in a very intense way, such that if they think, the more they think about that person, the more they love that person. The more they think about that person, the more they love. So the person spending the whole night thinking about them, in the morning they love them even more. Okay? And the other thing he said, that ishq leads to illness of the heart. It leads to illnesses of the heart. So that is a type of love that she has for him. Tayyib. Now this verse, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said that Allah mentions afterwards that they're actually plotting against her by saying these things. And then he says there are 10 signs in this verse alone that they're really trying to get her to invite them over. 10. Okay. So shall we try and work them out? Who thinks we can work out all 10? Let's give it a go. The obvious ones are said already. That they refer to her not by name, but as the Lady of Aziz, right? So that's worse, isn't it? Saying that she's the Lady of Aziz is like saying, come on man, she doesn't even think about her husband. Her husband is Aziz, and she's doing that. That's one. What else? What else, brothers? Come on, there's 10 here. Go ahead.
By mentioning that she's trying to answer.
Okay, she's trying to get with who? Not just an ordinary man. A enslaved man. That's the second point. That he's enslaved. He's a slave. He's not even a normal person. Secondly, fataha. It's her own slave. Now the word fata can be used for the ghulam of the husband, okay, the child of the husband. So this woman, she might be married to this man, but that's not her child. That can be referred to as the fata. Now that means that, okay, Yusuf alayhi salam's relationship to her is like, kind of like family, you know. They're like family. She's trying it with someone from her own household. That's worse. So, okay, so that's three. Number one, that they refer to her not by name, Imra'atul Aziz. Number two, who is Yusuf alayhi salam? He's a fata, he's a slave. Number three, it's her own slave. Okay, let's keep going. Yes, brother.
The end of the ayah, when they say that it's her fault.
She's misguided. Okay, very good. So that's another obvious one, that they say, Inna naraha fi dhalalin mubin. She's so misguided. Okay, that's four.
Yep.
No, but this is just from the verse. Just from the verse. He rejected her. Okay, where can you find in this verse that he rejected her? Is there? Very good. Okay. So they say that turawidu fataha an nafsihi, that she's trying to seduce him, which means he's rejecting it. And that's worse, right? That she could have tried it on someone and they fell into that misdeed. No, she tried it on a slave and the slave said, no, I'm not going to do it. Oh, that's worse. Five. Yes.
The love penetrated her heart.
Okay, that she's crazy in love with who? Her own slave. Oh, that's going to hurt her when she finds that out, isn't it? They even know how I feel about him as well. Just going back to what the brother said about turawidu fataha an nafsi, that she was seducing him. Notice how they use the present tense verb to speak about what she's doing as opposed to the past tense, rawadat. When you say the present tense, it has the meaning of doing it still now. She's trying to get with him, even maybe right now as they're speaking. She's probably right there right now trying to seduce him. Ah, so that's something else. That's six now. Four more, brothers. Four more. Very good, Ahsan, very good. They're not just any women. They are basically her, if you like, from her own class of people. That's the worst, isn't it? It's not just the layperson talking about you. It's those people that know your business, your contemporaries. They're from the political class, and so is she. And that's seen because Allah says, وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. That's seven.
They say that we see, which sort of indicates that the wife's going to be inclined to prove them wrong.
Okay.
In that sense.
We see.
So we see that she's the one to blame.
Uh-huh. So they're saying we see that she's the one to blame. Uh-huh.
So, I mean, if the wife's going to be sort of inclined to prove them wrong, so...
Okay, she would, definitely, when she hears that, they are saying that, and we see. So what you're saying is that, as opposed to them saying it individually, isn't it?
Yeah.
As we're saying collectively, all of us say together, that woman is mental. All of them said that about me. Ah, inna, indeed we, naraha, we see her, fi dhalal mubin. Very good. What's that on eight?
Yeah.
Eight. Okay, two more. Anything else? Give up? No more? Yep.
It's a group of women shows that particular order that women are coming together and speaking ill of her.
No, we just said this, that they're doing it collectively. Gossiping? No, they're saying these things about her. Anything else?
Maybe, as the wife of Aziz, she's supposed to be superior to them, and now she lowered herself in front of them.
Yeah, she's lowered herself, that's true. But they're already saying that she's lowered herself by saying we see her as misguided. And she's the wife of Aziz. They already mentioned that, you know. She's not just any woman, she's the wife of Aziz. Yes, okay.
They singled her out and they said she's the one to blame, as in nobody else was involved. It was all her fault.
It was all her fault? Not really, no. Not really. Okay, let me go through them, yeah. Number one, Ibn Qayyim says, they called her Lady of Aziz. And this is worse, as it exposes her as being the wife of someone. And so she is not just being indecent, but unfaithful. Ah, that's a separate one. She's the wife of Aziz. But first of all, even before we go to the being the wife of this person, she's a wife already. She's already married. She's not a woman who's not married. She's a married lady and she's trying with someone else. Then she's Imratul Aziz. She's married to who? The Aziz of all people. You see? Little bit different there. Number two, who is her husband? We mentioned this, Aziz. Number three, she's being indecent with a slave and not a free man. Number four, fataha. On top of that, it is her own slave, and that is like sleeping with someone from your own household. Number five, she tried to seduce him and not the other way around. Okay, that's the tenth one. That she's the one, turawidu. It's not that he is وَالْعِيَاذِ بِاللَّهِ trying something indecent with her and she's fallen into it. It's the opposite way around. It's the woman, in this case, trying it with the man. So in this way, okay, does Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah show us 10 pointers that show that they are in fact plotting against the wife of Aziz, as opposed to just gossiping about her.
Now, in terms of the lessons, there's two lessons we learn here. The first is that we learn that love is of types. Okay, love is of different types. Some types are yani pure, and some types are not that pure. Okay, the type of ishq that is spoken about here, the scholars differed as to whether it is permissible for someone to have ishq for Allah Jalla wa'ala. Why? Because it's such an extreme form of love that it can lead someone to do things which are not right. Okay, it can lead someone to do things which are not right. And in this case, you can see that her love for Yusuf alayhi salam is not making her do the right thing, which is, I don't know, maybe get divorced and then get married to Yusuf. It's making her do the wrong thing. Okay, so this type of love, ishq, which is one of the highest forms, the most intense forms of love, is blameworthy type of love. Okay. Second lesson we learn is the signs of a corrupt heart. Now this is mentioned by Ahmad Nawfal. And what he said is, somebody may hear what these women are saying and say and think that they're putting her down and they're calling her misguided, but that doesn't mean that those women are guided, does it? It doesn't mean that. And he's saying there's two things here. First of all, some people, okay, they like to speak, they like to criticize another person simply because they like taking advantage of that situation. Do you know what I mean? I'll give you an example. There's a niqabi sister, okay, she's driving, and she has a minor accident. She, you know, hits the back of somebody else. Now, who comes out of the car? Some big English guy, Baldy. It looks like someone from the EDL. He comes out of the car, and he goes, "What are you doing? What are you doing to my car? You're crazy." He starts making a big scene out of it. Everyone's looking what's going on. The sister's saying, "There's not even a scratch on your car. Why are you making such a big deal out of it? Why? You just want to take advantage of the situation, aren't you? Isn't it?" There's another motive here. And you're using this opportunity to take advantage of that. And that's why you're overdoing it. Okay, and you find this, subhanAllah, some people have this disease that they like to criticize. So they wait, somebody makes a mistake, and then they jump on it. As if they are being someone good, giving advice, but really, if you look at it carefully, they're actually just taking advantage of the situation. Okay? So this is what Ahmad Nawfal said. He said there's two things here. Firstly, that they are not guided themselves. And secondly, that they are criticizing, maybe not for a good reason either. Now the second thing he said is, the reason why they're not good themselves is because later on they basically try and help the wife of Aziz to get Yusuf to do zina with her. So they know better than her. In fact, next verse, they see Yusuf alayhi salam, and what do they say then? They go crazy over him as well. So he's saying that just because somebody speaks, you know, in a critical way about another person, it doesn't mean that that person himself is a good person. Okay.
Now, you also say that's a bit hypocritical, but when you say someone is like this and like that, and you can probably go like that in yourself and just criticize him, can you say that's also being like a hypocrite?
Okay. The brother asked the question that if you criticize someone about doing something wrong, yet you sometimes do the wrong thing yourself, doesn't that make you a hypocrite? That's your question, yeah?
No, in
this case or in general. You mean in general as well, isn't it? Dave, it's a good question. And the answer is as follows. Allah Jalla wa'ala says in the Quran that to the believers, لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Why do you say that which you don't do? Don't know if you read this verse in Surah Saf. لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Why do you say that which you don't do? People misunderstand this verse to mean, if I don't do that good deed myself, I can't tell anyone else to do it. If I don't stay away from this haram myself, I can never tell anybody else to stay away from this haram. Now, so what is the correct understanding? The correct understanding is that if you yourself, for example, want to encourage another person to pray Qiyamul Layl, or fast Monday and Thursday, but you yourself, you know, you struggle with that anyway. Most of the time you don't do it. Can I do this or not? If I did tell him, do I come under the verse? No. If you want to pray Qiyamul Layl yourself, and you are trying to pray, though you are failing, you are not like that person who says which he doesn't do. Meaning, he doesn't have any inclination to do that thing himself, And then on top of that, he's telling somebody else, pray Qiyamul Layl. He himself has no desire to pray Qiyamul Layl whatsoever. In that situation, you can't be doing that. You will be coming under the banner of doing, saying which you don't do. Okay, which Allah says, كَبُرَ مَقَتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. It is a gravely hated thing in the eyes of Allah.
So we can't be judged if we don't know what their intention
was. Yaqi, we're judging them right now, we're talking about them.
I mean, from a general perspective.
Tayyib, keep this question to the end, inshallah. Keep this question to the end. Okay. Brothers, are you clear on that point about the answer? This dhabit, when exactly can I advise someone or tell someone don't do this haram? And when can I not? Well, you can't do that if you don't do it yourself and don't even desire to do it. Person wa'l-iyadu billah is a person who, I don't know, takes drugs or interacts freely with the opposite gender. And then see another brother, akhi, what are you doing? You've got a girlfriend. That's wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. Is that okay? Fair enough. He accepts. But you yourself, do you even try to stay away from that? If the answer is no, then you shouldn't be telling us somebody else, don't do this. Okay. Next verse. فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ أَرْسَلَتْ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَعْتَدَتْ لَهُنَّ مُتَّكَأً وَآتَتْ كُلَّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْهُنَّ سِكِّينَ. Now, subhanAllah. Really cunning lady. Really cunning. Allah says, فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ. When she hears of what they are saying, which she interprets straight away to be a plot, she uses that to plot against them herself. And the way she does that is, أَرْسَلَتْ إِلَيْهِنَّ. She sends them an invitation, a royal invitation, to a banquet at my castle. Oof, no one's going to refuse that. And they're already expecting that anyway. أَرْسَلَتْ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَعْتَدَتْ لَهُنَّ. أَعْتَدَتْ means to prepare very well for them this banquet. أَعْتَدَتْ لَهُنَّ and مُتَّكَأَ. This means that she prepared for them a banquet, مُتَّكَأَ, which had luxury type of furnishings and sofas and cushions. And it also includes the food that she would put on display as well. So it's a full out party. Okay, she invited all of them, come round mine, and have a fantastic time. A huge, you know, banquet is going to be rolled out for you guys. وَآتَتْ كُلَّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْهُنَّ سَكِينَ. Now when they come, they enter the house, they see this amazing, you know, laid out banquet, and she purposely puts there some food which they're going to need to cut with a knife. وَآتَتْ كُلَّ وَاحِدَةً. And she gives every single one of them a knife. Can you imagine? She sat them all down and she goes, oh, I forgot the knives. Bring the knives. One for you, one for you. Did I miss you out? One for you. كُلَّ وَاحِدَةً. Okay, سِكِّينَ. So now she's given the knife. Everything's in place now. Okay, she's just standing there. One last thing to do. قَالَتْ أُخْرُجْ عَلَيْنَ. Okay. Yusuf, ah, oh, I forgot the drinks. أُخْرُجْ عَلَيْنَ. Can you come out here for a second, please? Oh, so they're just about to grab some food, knife in their hand, and Yusuf al-Islam walks in. Now, subhanAllah, Yusuf al-Islam, the Prophet ﷺ spoke about his beauty in the hadith of Isra, where the Prophet ﷺ went on that night journey in Sahih Muslim. On the third sky, he saw Yusuf alayhi salam. And he said that he has been given shatr al-husn, half of beauty, half. Or shatr can also mean that if you were to divide beauty into two, one part of it could be given to Yusuf alayhi salam by himself. He was that attractive. He was that handsome. Okay, so when he walks in, فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ أَكْبَرْنَهُ وَقَطَّعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنَّ وَقُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ. They feel something, they do something, and they say something. What do they feel? Allah first says, look at how they felt. أَكْبَرْنَهُ. When they saw him, أَكْبَرْنَهُ. Sa'di said, this means that they felt in awe of him. they were like, oh my god, OMG. Yeah, with the scream faces on. Oh my god, akbarnahu. They were feeling like, oh my god. Okay, and they yani were so occupied with how amazing he looks, قَطَّعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنَّ, that they ended up cutting through that fruit or whatever it was right into their own flesh. And it's not just a paper cut. قَطَّعْنَا means a real deep cut, that they cut themselves in a very real way. And then after cutting themselves, they're still thinking about him. They say, قُلْنَا حَاشَ لِلَّهِ. حَاشَ لِلَّهِ means Subhanallah. Okay, but the thing is, you see yani, something that you're not supposed to see. You don't say Subhanallah, do you? You say Astaghfirullah. No? So why are they saying Subhanallah looking at Yusuf al-Islam? Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah explains. He says they are saying Subhanallah. Okay, I have it here. They're amazed at how their own desire for him has baffled them. They're not just saying he's amazing, Subhanallah. They are saying, I can't believe how crazy I am for him right now after seeing him. Subhanallah at that. Ah, so after even cutting themselves, they're still in awe of him and they haven't even realized that. So they say, حَاشَ لِلَّهِ. Then they say more. مَا هَذَا بَشَرًا. They say, he's not a human being. إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ. And then they say, إِنْ هَذَا. They said ma, which means no, to negate. But they don't say ma hadha bashara, ma hadha. They say in hadha. In has more emphasis. So they already said he's not a human being. And then they say absolutely is nothing except a noble angel. So they described him as an angel. Why? Because an angel, in terms of its appearance, is the most majestic, right? Is the most outstanding in terms of appearance, as opposed to Shaytan and the jinn, which are the worst in appearance. So they described him by saying he can't be a man. Yeah, why? Because we haven't seen any man that looks like him before. He must be an angel. Yeah, and they're just praising basically his amazing looks. Now, there's one linguistic point here. The word a'tadat. Allah Jalla could have said a'dat. Allah Jalla wa'ala didn't say that. He said a'tadat. Why? There's one point of benefit here, which is based on the pronunciation. That just the way it sounds is so much more pleasing, so much more beneficial. Okay, and what they mean by that is if you read the whole part of that verse, you notice that there are already two words used that have three syllables in them. فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ أَرْسَلَتْ إِلَيْهِنَّ then وَأَعْتَدَتْ لَهُنَّ مُتَّكَأً. Subhanallah. Very subtle point. But when it's recited, you know, the rhythm, you know, comes alive in that way. Had it been أَعْدَتْ, it would have been like, oh, it didn't flow. Yeah, it's amazing how these subtle points were picked up by scholars. If I recite it now, فَلَمَّا سَمِعَتْ بِمَكْرِهِنَّ أَرْسَلَتْ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَعْتَدَتْ لَهُنَّ. Do you see the sound that is coming through there? And that's why they said perhaps Allah Jalla wa said أَعْتَدَتْ instead of أَعْتَدْ. Okay, now she has them exactly where she wants them. Okay, her plan basically has come into fruition. So she's sitting there looking at everything that just happened and she's like, yep, I knew it. So she says, قَالَتْ فَذَٰلِكُنَّ الَّذِي لُمْتُنَّنِي فِيهِ. She says, فَذَٰلِكُن, meaning ذَٰلِكَ, him there, كُن, that's him right there. Yes, you see him now? That's what was making me the way I am. But there you have it, ladies. فَذَٰلِكُنْ أَلَّذِي لُمْتُنَّنِي. That's the person that you are blaming me in being in love with. Meaning, you've seen him just a 1 second, and that's your reaction. I've got to live with the guy. I'm living with him. You know. So what do you have to say now, ladies? So basically, she's managed to get control of the situation again. She's now in charge. Those ladies, she's put them in their place, and now she's in charge. Now she says a statement which seems like she's being remorseful. She's a bit sad or guilty, you know, I shouldn't have done that. In fact, it's the opposite. She says, وَلَقَدْ رَاوَدْتُهُ عَن نَفْسِهِ فَاسْتَعْصَمْ. Indeed, I tried to seduce him, فَاسْتَعْصَمْ, but he refused. فَاسْتَعْصَمْ, okay, can mean that he tried to get away from me. Okay, or he's trying to get away from me. However, there's another meaning, okay, which is that it's mubalagha. It means he was so passionate about rejecting me in every single way and getting away from me in every single way. He had mubalagha. Instead, Allah Jalla Allah said, i'tasam. I'tasam means that someone tried to preserve and protect themselves. You know, ista'asam means they were doing a brilliant job of that. So what's she trying to say then? You might think, oh, she was saying that, you know, I'm to blame here, I'm guilty. She's not actually saying that. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, she's saying the opposite, which is that you guys are reacting like this by just seeing him. However, his inward beauty is even more superior than the outward beauty. Subhanallah. And how does he derive this? Just from that word, ista'asam. Because that word displays his character, his dignity, his self-respect, you know, and his bravery. It does, doesn't it? If he is rejecting you, it means that his inward character is amazing. So she's saying that you just seen him, I know what he's like inside as well as outside. Okay. Now she makes a threat. وَلَئِنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا أَمْرُهُ لَا يُسْجَنَنَّ وَلَا يَكُونَمْ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ. If he does not do what I order him, he will be put in prison and brought low. And brought low. So she wants to make a threat now. And the thing is, she's in front of all those women. She don't care. She's making a threat outright in public in front of all those women. Why? Because she's in control of the situation now. So she says, either he's going to be put in prison if he doesn't do what I ask him. Meaning, I'm going to try again and again and again. And if you refuse, you're going to be put in prison. She makes a threat. And then she adds something else. وَلَا يَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ. And you will become humiliated. But the thing is, the way she said, I'm going to put you in prison, was with an added emphasis. If you look at the word, لَا يُسْجَنَنَّ, you see that there is a three noons there. لَا يُسْجَنَنَّ. See that? But then when she says about humiliating him, she says, وَلَيَكُونَ, وَلَيَكُونَ, not وَلَيَكُونَنَّ. So which means that she's pretty much sure that she can get him imprisoned. But she's not really confident that she can get him humiliated. Now why does she want to humiliate him? Well, because she's been humiliated herself by him. Yeah. So she's saying, I'm going to get you back just like you got him back. But I'm not quite sure whether I can really do that. You know, that's why the extra emphasis isn't given there. Which means, subhanAllah, even she knows he's such an honorable person. And I already tried it with him, and his shirt came to the rescue. Okay, and I'm going to try on him again. I don't know whether I'll be able to humiliate him, because this person is special. He's protected. But at least I know I can put him in prison. Okay. Now, some points of benefits that the scholars mentioned here. First point mentioned by Ibn Qayyim. He said, when she heard that they said that she came, when she heard what they said, she came up with an even more cunning plan. They may have hurt her pride with words, but she made them hurt their own selves physically. Okay, very cunning woman. Number two, mentioned by Al-Biqai. He said, notice how Yusuf a.s. was still obedient to her requests so long as they weren't contravening the commands of Allah. What is Al-Biqai speaking about here? What point is he making here?
But the drinks. He was prudent of when Aziz Khudir,
yep,
to have part of drinks.
Not Aziz,
I mean,
wife of Aziz.
Yep. He He listened and obeyed.
Oh, bad catch, okay. Yes, so the lady, she says, "Ukhruj alayhin, come in." She orders him. He doesn't say, "I'm going to listen to you now. The way you've been treating me, I'm not going to listen to anything you've got to say." He listened and he obeyed. He's a slave and that's his master. So Al-Biqa'i is saying that he remained obedient to her in everything that didn't go against the disobedience of Allah. Anything that went against the disobedience of Allah, no matter how much pressure she puts on me, I'm not going to do it. Okay. Third point, I think I mentioned this, which is about the word fasta'asan. It is not just seeking to protect yourself from evil, but it is mubalagha, more intense form, and this shows the mujahada of Yusuf alayhi salam, which was noticeable even to evil people. See, what the wife of Aziz is saying is that fasta'asam, he refused. And he's not just refusing, he's doing such a good job of refusing me. That in turn points towards his struggling and striving. That he's so, you know, passionate about staying away from haram. He's so good at it, you know, he's really struggling. And that struggle that he was going through was evident to even corrupt people. They could see that this man is a good, genuine person. And he's ready to struggle for Allah, yeah, for Allah's sake. Number four, Abu Hayyan mentioned this point. The fact that all this was allowed to happen under the nose of Aziz after he came to know of her dubious ways and attempt to seduce his slave tells us a lot about Aziz. Fair point or not? She was able to do all of this right under his nose, in his own house, after being caught out, which means that it doesn't look good on Aziz. And we mentioned this last time. He should have at least separated them or ensured that something like that wouldn't happen again. That something like that and even worse is happening again. So she was even able to threaten Yusuf with imprisonment, knowing that she would have to get her own husband to imprison him. And that's true. You know, she actually does order for his imprisonment. But who's going to imprison him? It's going to be a husband. A husband is ready to do everything that the wife is saying. Doesn't look good on his part. Okay, some key lessons now. Number one lesson is love blinds and numbs you. Al-Qurtubi mentioned this. Numbs you is seen by the fact that those ladies قَطَعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُنَّ, they cut their own hands. And they never even felt it. How comes? Well, because sometimes love can make you numb to pain. You don't see the hurt that is being caused to yourself physically, psychologically, to those around you. And that's very true. Many people in haram relationships, and they are destroying the akhirah, number one. Secondly, they're destroying their home life and maybe even their friends and all the rest of it, but they can't see it because they're crazy in love with this sister or vice versa. And I know of a brother who used to go to university together, we were close, we were very close in the first year of university. But in the second year, he got involved with a sister who was a Shia. Now, she wasn't just any Shia. Her father and the family in general were like the ulama of Shia. Okay? So they're hardcore Shia. He fell in love with her. We tried to advise, we tried to, you know, help, but it wasn't happening. 2 years, 3 years, by the end of uni they're still together, and so many ups and downs, and by this time he's lost all his friends because his friends are advising him, don't do this, this is wrong. Then they see him get hurt and all the rest of it, they give up. So in the process of that relationship, number one, he did haram before Allah Jalla Ala, may Allah forgive him. So number two, he lost all his friends. Number three, she was giving him da'wah. She was filling his mind with so many heretical things from the Shi'i doctrine. So he's being hurt in so many ways. But he didn't see it. He never saw it. Until it came to a point where I think they went their separate ways. And the person is devastated. Yeah, the person is devastated. So that suffering that he was going through at that time, he never felt it. Why? Because of the love that he had for that lady. Okay, for that person. The other thing is that love blinds. And Al-Baghawi mentioned that this verse shows us that love blinds, because they said, "Ma hadha bashara." He's not a human being, even though he was a human being. And then he said, "In hadha illa malakun kareem." They said, "He's an angel," and he wasn't an angel. Okay, so he's saying that this verse shows us that love, tayyib, blinds as well as numbs you. Okay, point number two. Lesson number two. Whoever honors Allah's rights, Allah will honor him too. And subhanAllah, this is so true when we look at Yusuf al-Islam. He was doing his utmost to honor the command of Allah to stay from zina. لا تقرب. Yeah. He was doing his utmost. And so in turn, Allah honored him in so many ways. I mean, all he had to do was himself say to Aziz, "Hiya rawadatni an nafsi." She was the one trying it with me. That's all. After that, his qamis comes along and proves his innocence. Yeah, his qamis, not him. His qamis by someone else who's from her side of the family. Now here, the wife herself admits it, isn't it? She admits that I tried it on him, but he refused. So now his innocence has become known even to the other people as well. So here, Allah is taken upon himself to honor Yusuf alayhi salam. Why? Because Yusuf alayhi salam was doing his utmost to honor the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, Allah only saves a person from sin who is trying to save himself. Subhanallah. Amazing point mentioned by Abu Hayyan rahimahullah. That the fact is that why Allah Jalla came to his aid? Well, because Yusuf alayhi salam was trying himself first to stay away from the sin. Allah saw him trying to stay away from the sin, therefore Allah helped him. And now the reverse is also true, which is scary. A person may not have the opportunity to do some haram. However, he desires it. I wish I could do this. SubhanAllah. A person wishes that they could do this haram. But because of family or because of society or whatever, because of the law, he's unable to do that haram. Allah Jalla wa Ala will treat him based on his desire. This person wants to do evil, then evil will come his way. You know, and this is known as hirman, deprivation. That Allah deprives a person of goodness because that person doesn't want it themselves in the first place. And the opposite. A person wants good, maybe he'll never be able to attain that good. Allah will bring that good to him. Why? Because he wanted it in the first place. And the more you want, the more Allah gives. The more you want, the more Allah gives you. You know, it's just about how much you desire. You know, sometimes a person, he does things half-heartedly. Salah, for example. How many of us, wal-iyadu billah, are so easy with our salah? We treat it half-heartedly. Yeah, I'll pray in jama'ah. I'll try. Tayyib. You try, meaning, I'll give it a shot. You know, half-half effort. Half-half effort means you will get half-half tawfiq from Allah. You come to Allah with your feet dragging. Allah, in turn, will bring khayr to you in a very simple, reduced way too. Based on your own desire. And subhanAllah, this happens in life. You reflect over yourself. When you desired something truly good yourself, and you are willing to do whatever it takes, that thing comes to you easy. Yeah? And sometimes, subhanAllah, you try to do something good, and on the apparent, you did everything you're supposed to, but you never managed to capture that khayr. Why? Allah prevented you. Allah prevented you because He saw that you never really wanted it in the first place. Mathalan, for example, this dars. Okay, today we're coming here. I was coming here and it was pelting down. Really rainy. So, shaitan comes to all of us. Yeah, a person wants to come to the dars and study for Allah's sake. But how strong is his desire? Well, it's 50-50. Rain came. And that's it, khalas, oh, it's too difficult now to come now. You know, it's raining outside. Ya akhi, is it really the rain? Or is it just your half-hearted intention in the first place? You know, another brother, he came. And you never came. This person got the good, this person never got the good. Ultimately, that's the bottom line. why were you deprived? You have to reflect over that. Why was I deprived from doing this good? Person wants to study Arabic, and 1 year he says, I want to study Arabic. Second year comes, I never study Arabic. Third year comes, I never managed to do this or that. How comes? You need to think about that. And you had time, opportunity. How comes that khayr never came to you? Is it because you really didn't desire that much? May well be the case. And that's a scary thought. But that is the way Allah treats us. Based, as the Prophet said, in Allah, لَا يَنْظُرُوا إِلَىٰ أَجْسَامِكُمْ وَسُوَرِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُوا إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ. The Prophet said in the Hadith saying, Allah doesn't look towards your outer appearances or to your forms, but He looks towards what? Your hearts. Your hearts. Allah sees your heart. He sees my heart. And based on that, Allah will treat us, you know, based on the heart. So may Allah help us to have sincere, strong intentions to do good, and also to help us to really desire not to do evil, and to stay away from it, whatever the cost. Okay, the last lesson here is one of the unintended consequences of sinning is humiliation in the dunya. This is mentioned by Ahmad Nawfal, that he's saying that sometimes a person does sin, tayyib, and the result of that sin is not just ithm. This is not just a bad deed to your account. It is not just that. Many other things happen as well. Many other things are triggered by that sin. One of them is humiliation. You become humiliated in the eyes of people outside. Look at shaitan. Allah Jalla wa Ala said to him, "Yani, you honored living here, yani, near me, in the company of angels. And now you tatakabbar. Now you are showing arrogance." See, what is Allah Jalla didn't say that you are refusing to do sujood, which is the act. What did Allah say? That you are what? Showing arrogance. So where is the arrogance? In the heart. Allah Jalla said that it is not befitting. أن تتكبر فيها فخرج فإنك إنك من الصاغرين. Leave here. Indeed, you are from the humiliated ones. Shaytan became humiliated in the eyes of Allah because of showing arrogance to him. And as a consequence, any of that sin, he is humiliated in the eyes of every sensible person. Yeah. And same thing with Fir'aun. He was so great from a worldly perspective, but how was his end? Drowned. Yeah, drowned. The sea parted and drowned him and his army. All the prestige he had, everything drowned. You know, total humiliation. So this is another very interesting point that was mentioned, it brings us to the end of this verse. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.